Well, we continue our joyride series, and if you're like me, one of the things that really perturbs you the most if you're out on a drive is when this little light comes on your dash. How many of you know about the check engine light? It's so distressing because it's so hard to figure out what it means. I love old-fashioned, straightforward lights when maybe your oil pressure light would come on or your engine hot. That was very obvious. But with your check engine light, it could be everything from your gas cap being loose to major engine trouble. It's almost like it's speaking to you. And you know, sometimes it's rather expensive. It's like, hey, I'd like your car saying, I'd like to introduce the expensive side of me to you. Or if it just cuts off and you didn't know it's going to cut off, it's saying to you, you'd never get it anyway. So it's a challenge. And so today we're going to talk about your body's check engine light. Your body's way of saying there's something off, something that needs to be corrected. And not only is it that, it's the number one joyride disruptor. And let me just go ahead and tell you what we're talking about today. It's the idea of anxiety. And so understand in the original language, the word anxiety meant to be pulled in two directions. It's like you might be here today and you're focused on praising God, but you might be pulled thinking, oh my goodness, did I cut the oven off? You might be here today and focused on God and the things of God, and yet in the back of your head, you're thinking about what you got to do tomorrow at work. It's to be pulled in two directions. And the English word worry actually means to strangle, to draw tight. So how do we know when that light is on? Often it might be a headache or a neck ache. Could be just a tightness in your chest. It could be trouble sleeping. It could be as bad as ulcers. But that's your body's way of saying something's not right in life, or maybe probably better today, how you're looking at life. American Association of Physicians says 75% of doctor's visits are anxiety related. And other studies say, we talk a lot about addictions, anxiety, worry is the number one addiction in our country. And so today we're going to talk about anxiety and how challenging it is for most of us. And we're also going to be studying the most highlighted two verses in your Bible. Amazon somehow can trace when people highlight verses, and there's no wonder when you see our struggle with anxiety. So let's look at the context of where Paul's going to talk. Philippians 4 verses 2 through 3. You remember this problem they're dealing with in the book of Philippians? I plead with Udiah and I plead with Synecdoche to be in the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they've contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of light. You see, here's what he's saying. You cannot ignore the light, okay? There's a problem going on here. I mean, Philippians is the most positive of every New Testament epistle. But there's this one negative. And Paul can say, yeah, I know the light's on the dash, but I don't really want to pay attention to it. Raise your hand right now. How many of you have a check engine light on in your car or your spouse's car right now? Oh, my goodness, we're getting to about halfway there. You know what I mean? We got one on Stephanie's car. We took it to the mechanic a few weeks ago. He said, let me just cut it off and bring it back if it comes back on. Well, guess what? A week later, it came back on, all right? So we've learned to live with it. And too often, we learn to live with anxiety. We make excuses like, I'm just a worrying type person. I'm just anxious. Well, Paul says, oh, man, there's a lot of good going on in this church. But there is some problem happening between these two women. These are not weak women. They're faithful women. They've been partners with the Apostle Paul. And Paul says, we can't ignore that. Now, let me make this point. I think you can see it on the screen there. That's really important for this week. The holidays magnify relational issues. Paul says in the church here, if you don't deal with this, it can become very, very disruptive to the fellowship of the church. Guys, here's what I watch every time. When God's doing great things through his church, one of Satan's greatest tools is to get us at each other's throats. And here, Paul's saying, don't ignore this. And I want to say to you today, as we enter this holiday season, man, it can be so hard. Because whatever issues you may have in your family or with the people you love, it becomes even worse. It magnifies it. It may be that tension with a brother or sister. It might be that unresolved conflict that hangs in the air. It might be you actually dread to see some of the people you may have to see today. Or maybe your anxiety comes because there's someone this year missing from the table. Or maybe your anxiety comes just from your own loneliness. Or maybe the holidays bring forth the financial stress you're already living in and make it worse. So don't ignore that. You know, and today we want to spend some time praying about that. I've been in so many groups, and this is surprising because most of them are small men's groups where before Thanksgiving we'll say, how many of you have got some stuff to deal with during the holidays? Or even as bad as, how many of you dread the holidays? I'm always shocked by the high percentage of people who say, man, there's a conflict going in my family. I'm miserable there. Holidays have such high expectations and they don't ever live up to it. Because you may have high expectations, but some of those old family patterns come back to bite you. So how do we deal with this? Well, that's the great thing about what the apostle Paul's can say to us. We got two sections here. First of all, how do you perform just routine maintenance? How should you live? What should your lifestyle be that will help keep anxiety at bay? And then we'll close out with a simple solution of how to cut the light off, okay? Because I guarantee you, many of you going into this holiday season, the light's on the dash and you like to ignore it. But Paul says you can do much better than that. So let's get into our passage. Look at verses 4 and 5, Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Number one, choose joy consistently. Twice here, Paul commands, rejoice in the Lord. It's so important, he says, let me repeat it to you again. Now, here's the really good news of this message. Listen closely. Joy is not a matter of chance. Joy's a matter of choice. You can choose it. Now, happiness is based on happenings, and so it's a happenstance. Happiness says, if everything's lined up in my life, well, then certainly I'm happy. But if it's not lined up in my life, I can't. Joy's so much better because it's an inside deal. And the Apostle Paul says, you can choose joy. Now, if you don't believe that, there's no reason us going any further today. If you think you're stuck in your misery, if your attitude is, I know the holidays are going to be awful, I'm just going to endure it. I'm not telling you raise your expectations to an unreal level. Because there are issues, I guarantee you that. But what I'm saying is, your joy must be dependent on your relationship with God. And that's one of the crazy cool things it says at the end of those verses. Why can you rejoice? God is near. Literally, God is at your elbow. He's right by you. So choose joy. And then here's our memory verses, or here's the most highlighted verses in the Bible. And I think we'll understand why. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So routine maintenance, first of all, choose joy. Second, pray persistently. What does Paul say here? You pray in every situation. That's one of the greatest things. We go through areas of tension and we lean on God, is our relationship with God grows deeper and more intimate. Now, Paul uses three words for prayer here. Number one is just a general word for prayer. He says you pray, supplication, and then with thanksgiving. Now, the word pray there is a word that encompasses worship, all right? So sort of three steps in prayer. First of all, just praise God, worship God. Everything gets in a different context when you put it in the context of an almighty, all-loving God. Praise Him. Second, supplication. NIV says petition. What does that mean? You pray about what's bothering you. Guys, listen to me. Anything bothering you bothers God. Don't say to yourself, oh, I can't talk to him about that. He doesn't care about that. That seems so minor. No. If it's major to you, it's major to God. You take it to him. And especially your anxieties. My favorite verses in all the Bible. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. What's he say? Cast all your cares. Some translations even use the word anxieties. Cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. Now, the word cast there is really important. It means, okay, it's to take an object and it's to move it somewhere else. Okay? It's to take it from here to there. And what he's saying to you about your worry, okay, is move it off your shoulders to God's shoulders. I mean, you that are fishermen, you understand this. You say you're going to cast that lure. What does it mean? You're moving it from there in your boat to 30 feet over there where you think the fish are. You cast it. Because here's the most practical thing I can say to you this morning. Cast your anxiety on him. You know you got it. You got a list. Take that list and cast it on God. And then he says, the third part of your prayer, worship, praise, petition, and then thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is so important, this whole thing. In the middle of whatever you're going on, in the middle of things that aren't so great, everything should be better when you remember what is great. So that's our point number three. He says, give thanks constantly. As we've been talking about this whole series, guys, if your life is going to be a joyride, one essential element is that you are a thankful person. That's why we started this series with that wonderful gratitude app. I hope it's been a cool thing for me. That's why last Sunday night, we had such a wonderful time over in the Life Center with our Thanksgiving devotional. It's one of the most simple things we do. Don't tell the bed goods that. But it's one of the most simple things we do is we just meet and we eat a fantastic meal together. And we just have people get up and talk about what they're thankful for. I remember years ago, someone said, well, we need to do a little bit more on the, no. It's just that simple. It's just that beautiful. So you're going to have some kids and you're going to have some older adults and you're going to have people in between. You're going to have people who just got married and everything's going good in their life. You're going to have people who've gone through a terrible time and shared. But we just spend the night just giving thanks. It's so important, not for just individuals, but as a church. Sometimes we're so driven in such a hurry, we don't ever just stop and thank God for what he's doing. So give thanks constantly. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. We got that one. Pray continually. That was point two. And here's what he says. Give thanks in all situations. That's point three. Now, did you notice a distinction there? He did not say, give thanks for all situations, right? He said, give thanks in all situations. Everything in your life is not good. God's not asking you to be Pollyanna and act like it is. He's not asking you to hide your head in the sand. But he is asking you to see, even in difficult times, maybe you're in a strain right now in a relationship. Maybe work's not what it ought to be. Maybe the holidays are going to feel really, really lonely. We don't say, well, thank you, God, that my friend passed away. Thank you, God. No. But I thank him in it because I know that God can work in it to make me more like Jesus. So you give thanks in all situations. I love the story about this Scottish preacher. And he is a really small church out in the country. And his practice was every Sunday, the first thing he would do would be to get up and lead a prayer of thanksgiving. And so, I mean, he would just keep up with all the good things going on. It was, everybody loved it. And then there was one Sunday where, at least appearance-wise, it seemed that nothing was going well. There was hardly anybody there. Some of the members were really sick. There had been some deaths in the church. The weather was awful. And everybody in the church wondered, what in the world is he going to pray today? How's he going to come up with a prayer of thanksgiving on a day like today? Listen to what he prayed. Father, we thank you that it's not always like this. If that's all you can pray, just pray at least thanking him. It's not always right like that. Well, let's keep going. Let's get some more instruction in verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Point 4, regular maintenance, think positively. Think about such things. Now, let me go over that list one more time. And I'm challenging me and I'm challenging you. Okay. As I go over the list of things, Paul has challenged us to think about. I want you, let's don't go back too far. Let's just go back this week. Have these been the kind of thoughts you've entertained? Okay. Have you been thinking about things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy? Because listen, we're trained to not think about those things, aren't we? We're trained to walk away from everything and critique it. Because listen, we are being conditioned by our news to think negatively, okay? Every news organization in America today, because there's so many of them, works on the opposite of what Paul's asking for. Modern media's, and if you study this, you'll see it's true, and this is not picking on one side or the other. Modern media is to keep, goal is to keep you mad. They know if they can keep you mad, they can keep you viewing. So now that we have so many, whether you love CNN or you love Fox, they both have the same goal, is to keep you fired up about the other side, so you keep tuning in. Let me just give you a warning. You need to assume some of what you're hearing is not true, or it's certainly not the whole story. You've heard me say this before. I was at the gym a couple years ago, you know, just sweating on that elliptical trainer. Well, I was doing okay. I was on the elliptical trainer, and I'm looking, there's two TVs in front of me, one's on CNN and one's on Fox. For 5 minutes, they're covering the same story, but it was not anything alike. Now, no point there is except to say, we live in a culture that's fueled by negativity. We've got to be people that are fused by positivity, and that's what Paul says. These are the kind of things to think about. Put a filter in your life of what you should think. Every day you live, you wake up with two lists. One list is all the things going wrong in your life. The other list is all the things going right in your life. And your joy will be very dependent on which list you read from. Now, one more verse. And you might miss this point. And I think this point's a little more subtle. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay. Point number 5, keep anxiety at bay. Live single-mindedly. Paul says, whatever you've seen in me, put it into practice. You've seen a good model of how to live. Now let's go back to last week's lesson for a moment, okay? Because this is where I think we might miss it if we're not careful. Remember what he said in verses 13 and 14? He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Remember that line though? But one thing I do. Forgetting what's behind, straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You notice last week our whole point was, man, get your focus on Jesus. May he dominate your thoughts and your life and everything can go better. Okay? So we come to chapter 4 and we see the opposite, and that's what we call worry and anxiety. And worry and anxiety are focusing on the many things. Worry and anxiety is my heart is torn, my neck is strangled because there's so many things on my plate that are consuming me. And so that's the contrast. And that's why, guys, one of the greatest solutions to your anxiety and worry issue is to get your mind on Jesus. You see, if my joy is depending on everything going right this week and all of my relatives behaving or even showing up, I may be in trouble because that may not all happen. But I'm telling you who's always going to show up in my life every day. He is right at my elbow. Jesus. That's where you find your joy. Now, guys, Jesus taught the same thing. If you got your Bible, go over to Matthew chapter 6 with me. It's not going to be on the screens. But here's where Jesus addressed the issue of worry. And you remember a couple of things Jesus said about worry. He said, you know, by worrying, you can't add a year to your life. He says, first of all, it's useless. I mean, worry doesn't change anything, just makes you miserable. And then he says, hey, would you look at the flowers out here? Would you look at the birds of the air? I mean, God takes care of them. You don't think God's going to see you through this? He said, no, is it worthless? It's faithless. But then he gets to an answer that really is sort of surprising. Verse 31, Matthew 6. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Here's the solution. We've read this verse out of context. Here's the solution for your worry. Verse 34. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Jesus, what's your solution to worry? It's to get your mind off the many things that are distracting you and put your mind on the one thing that really matters. That is Jesus and his kingdom. His answer is the same. Paul's answer is the same. Focus on that. Think single-mindedly. That'll change everything. So here's the deal, guys. Jesus knows this. Paul knew this. Your mind is going to be preoccupied with something. I don't know about you, but I have no ability to put my mind in neutral. Maybe some of you do. God bless you if you can. There's going to be something there. And here's what Paul believes. Here's what Jesus obviously believed. You got a choice. That's the good news. You got a choice. What are you going to fill it with? And his answer to that is to fill it with him. So look at this slide here. Two ways to drive, two ways to live. Because if you're going to have a joyride, you're going to have to be focused on the one thing, not distracted by the many things. That brings us right back to where we were last week. Remember that great story of Mary and Martha? When Martha rebukes Mary for not helping with the food. Here we go again. So I already quoted it. But I love this line. It helps me. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset. The literal words there are uptight. It's a type of anxiety. You're anxious, Martha, about so many things. Some of you are really anxious about getting the food on the table this week. You are so anxious about so many things. But only one thing matters. And Mary's chosen it. And it won't be taken away from her. It's eternal. Well, what are Mary, what is Mary doing so awesome? She's focused on the one thing. My friends, what we're talking about today is the difference between faith and worry. Faith is keeping focused on God and trusting him. Worry is saying, I got to fix it all on my own. Worry is focusing on the wrong things. Faith is focusing on the right thing. And that's a God that we know in the long run, everything's going to be okay. It may not seem it this way. We're not discounting the problems you're dealing with. They're there, but we know in the long run, Jesus is coming back. He's going to make everything right. And those that have chosen him will live with him forever. It's just that simple. The Apostle Paul demonstrated that so well in this book. Remember chapter 1? Guys, this is why Philippians is so powerful. Because the one who wrote it in his circumstances, okay? Paul is in prison under the threat of death. He has some brothers and sisters who don't like him, surprise, who are trying to cause trouble for him. And Paul, remember in chapter 1, he made that incredibly crazy statement, what does it matter? And then he summed it all up in verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'm in a win-win situation. If I keep on living, I'm just going to live for Jesus. If my life is taken, I'm just going to be with Jesus forever. So how do you turn the light off, guys? A lot of us walked in here today with the light on. I've told you the practices to be different, but here's one clear, practical challenge when the light comes on in the dash of your life this week. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Please say that with me out loud. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Say it like you mean it. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Here's the deal, guys. Take your worry list and turn it into your prayer list. This week, as you face different things that are going to, if you can just feel your shoulders tighten up, feel your neck tighten up, feel your, okay, just stop. Just stop. You see the light. Don't ignore it. Don't act like it's not there. Don't just hope it goes away. Just hand it to God. Okay, Lord, this is what I'm worried about right now. I'm going to physically take it, and I'm going to physically put it on your shoulders. Because here's my challenge. Let's worry about nothing. Let's pray about everything. Here's the promises in the book of Philippians. The peace of God will transcend all understanding. Twice in these verses, the end of it, and the God of peace will be with you. The promise is peace. What's the peace that transcends all understanding? It's the peace that doesn't make sense. So here's the cool thing that we are in grasp of. We're not saying everything's going good in your life. We're not saying these holidays are going to be easy. We're not saying it's going to be easy to sit down at that table without that loved one. Or to know that, no, we're not saying that. But what we're saying is it's possible to have peace even before it's fixed. You see, the peace that you can understand is, hey, everything's going my way. I just got a raise. I got a new car. We're going to my relative's new house. Our whole family gets along. We love each other. It's a fun. Who can't have peace in the middle of that? Here's what God wants for you so badly and for me is you can have peace before it even looks that way. So this morning, I want to invite our elders, their spouses, our ministers, their spouses, some other folks that I've invited sort of surround the worship center. And I want to give you a chance right now to turn your worry list into a prayer list. And all you're going to need to do the next few minutes is we're going to be playing some music and just low because we want everybody to be able to hear. Y'all happy about that? And so you can see all around, just spread around here. And what I'm asking you to do before you walk into this crazy holiday season, if there's something you're anxious about, if the check engine light is on, then you can do something about it. You may, here we are on Sunday, you already feel it. You feel the responsibilities. And so we're going to do the most simple direct command in this passage is we're going to worry about nothing. We're going to take it. And we're going to give it to God. And we're going to pray about it. So all you got to do is come up to any of these couples. And I think many of these couples joining us and individuals and just say, hey, I'm so glad Jeremy gets to be a part of this today, all right? And again, we all are just going to be seated. Just go to one of these couples, give them your name. That helps us out. We panic up here. We get anxious. Just give us your name and what you're anxious about, and we're just going to stop right now and pray about it. If you don't have that issue right now, then here's what I'd say. You just stay at your seat and start giving thanks. If you don't have these things, well, praise the Lord. Go ahead and just start your time of thanksgiving there at your seat. But if you need something prayed about, if anything's to hit you, or if today you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus and be baptized, or today you're ready, you want to confess something before the church and the whole church pray, come down and meet me. But otherwise, just go to some of these wonderful people, and let's go and hand it over to God before we even step into this week. Let's start playing the music.